Girl, tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know, baby? 'Cause it's Wednesday.
This is HDN.
And Wednesday night is the night that we make love. Tuesday night's the night that we go and visit your mother, but Wednesday night is the night that we make love.
Wednesday, August 20th in the Beaver Bank Bunker with Jamie and Lisa.
It was an epic fail, of monumental proportions.
Oh.
This past weekend, Patricia Arab, she is the MLA for Fairview Clayton Park.
Yeah.
And they were having a community barbecue in Fairview this past Saturday.
Okay.
So usually they try to purchase some special food for the Muslim residents, halal type meats and other foods.
Oh, I like how you said that.
What?
Halal.
I think that's how it's said. I apologize. I'm not Muslim. But this year, for whatever reason, they couldn't purchase the halal hot dogs for the barbecue, so somebody donated some regular chicken hot dogs. And so what did Patricia Arab do? Well, she apparently waved her hands over them while uttering a prayer and served those instead, telling the Muslim picnickers that they were halal. Well, first of all,
What is halal? Is that the Muslim version of kosher? They have to be blessed by, you know.
Exactly. It's the preparation of halal food is pretty involved, and my understanding is that the food has to be slaughtered, the meat has to be slaughtered a certain way, and the blood drained, and then the prayers are involved. And
so waving your hand over a bunch of wieners doesn't really cut it.
No, just flashing a peace sign over a chicken hot dog is just not going to be enough.
Although her name is Arab.
Yes.
Does that not hold something? No?
No, she's Catholic.
Oh, my God.
Could we make this any worse?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Patricia Arab did issue a statement saying, "On Saturday, August 16th, I volunteered to help out with the Fairview Community Association's 8th Annual Community Barbecue. During my one-hour shift..." Oh, she did all of this in just 1 hour? There was some confusion...
Working hard to disappoint.
Yeah. There was some confusion about what is considered halal. "My intentions and those of the organizers were based solely on good faith and respect for Muslim values and beliefs. I in no way meant to offend anyone or diminish the sanctity of halal. I've reached out to leaders and members of the Muslim community to apologize for my role in this misunderstanding."
So what the hell kind of prayer did she say? If she's Catholic, does she know any Muslim prayers?
Good question.
I could just see her. She was probably slinging out the dogs and she just kind of went like, "Oh, you want halal? Your kind of thing.
Hocus pocus, halal."
Oh, that's just so not right.
On so many different levels. You lose count finding out how many different levels that is wrong. Also came to light yesterday, Nova Scotia Power's deadline to hand over to their report to Hurricane Arthur, their response to it, was due to the Utility and Review Board. Basically, it was 173 pages. The first 10 pages, nothing but table of contents. What it comes down to is Nova Scotia Power says they weren't to blame.
Oh, really?
They said that inadequate weather forecasting played a role in what happened. They said that the storm was worse than what was originally forecast.
This will take a little bit of doing, but I could go back into our podcast that we did a good 4 or 5 days before the storm where we said that it could be bad. That was around the time that the union released a statement saying, "You know what, guys, your service is not going to be all that great because their pants are down and they're not doing anything about it."
Mm-hmm.
How many days before?
Less than a week, but it certainly was a good number of days beforehand.
Here's a little recommendation for Nova Scotia Power. Maybe you should follow the same weather broadcaster that the union is following, because they apparently got the right forecast.
They also blame leafy trees.
Leafy trees and Cindy Day.
Yeah.
The downfall of Nova Scotia Power.
Yes. Leafy trees, and we'll put that in the same column with the icy fog.
Salty fog.
That's it.
Salty
Thank
fog
you.
And leafy trees.
That's right. So leafy trees.
Appearing tonight at the Marquee Club.
So with Nova Scotia Power saying, because the storm came so early in the hurricane season, the ground was still very moist and the trees were in full leaf. So when the winds did hit, That meant that more trees were toppled and more of them ended up on the power lines.
That's crap. I heard that trees were not toppled, that they actually snapped because the ground was so freaking dry, not because it was so wet. First of all, here in Nova Scotia, that is. I mean, it was up in New Brunswick where they got the water. And for them to say that the ground was wet, it was dry leading up to that event.
Yes, yes. Now, you have to differentiate because, I mean, there were 200,000 plus customers across the province that were left without power in the wake of post-tropical storm Arthur. Halifax and vicinity, it was a dry storm, but the further north that you went into the valley in particular, their storm was a lot wetter than what we got.
Yeah, but still it wasn't as wet as it was up in New Brunswick.
No, God, no.
New Brunswick was wet. Nova Scotia more or less got a wind event. So I call shenanigans there, Nova Scotia Power.
And anyway, 173 pages later, they wrap up by saying that their response was adequate given the situation. As for the communications issues, they say it was a software problem, and that is being worked on as we speak.
You know what we need?
What do we need?
Competition. The second you have competition in the power game is the second you start getting service. Whenever you don't have competition, that's when prices go up and service goes down. That's what's happening in the movie theaters.
Well, I think it's happening to some extent in the cable slash internet slash phone service.
Well, you know what? No, I think that it used to be that way. EastLink used to be the only game in town.
Right.
Now there are other people. There's Bell that's moved in. Because you have that competition, prices are starting to go down. So that is changing, but it's because of the competition that that's changing. If we had competition for the power companies, I don't know how you could possibly ever work that, unfortunately. But if you had some competition, Nova Scotia Power would have to go, okay, we're going to start offering some service here. And we might even have to lower prices. Bottom line is, checks and balances in a free enterprise society, you need competition.
Yeah.
And I know you always think that I bring up radio and theaters because, well, that's what I know.
It's the background.
But yeah, but it's the background. But it's also, as a person who likes to go and see movies, it just, it drives me crazy when I go into a completely empty theater. And I just paid 20 some odd dollars to go and see that and 20 some odd dollars for popcorn. And I'm thinking, you know what? If you cut the price in half, you'd have 10 times as many people here. And I'm no mathematician, but that seems to me that you'd be making more of a profit that way. And they've got, you know, they're getting rid of all the staff by putting kiosks up there. And the only reason they're doing that is because they're the only game in town. Look around. Nova Scotia, you got to go to Cineplex.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden there was somebody else in there that was offering, service, if there's the same movie at two different places, one's cheaper or one's offering a better service, you're going to go there. And pretty soon, checks and balances, who is it that the divine hand, all that economic stuff that I learned back in university. Who was that? Adam
Smith?
Adam West.
Adam West. Yes.
The divine hand of Batman. I think something I seem to recall something like that. But anyway, Nova Scotia Power needs competition. And I'm thinking, what if Quebec Power or one of those other places come in here and says, you know what, we can, all we need to do is just plug this cord in here and we can light you guys right up. No problem at all. I think Nova Scotia Power might actually stand up and take notice. But until that point,
they would block that until the end of time.
Sure they would.
Till their last dying breath, they would block it.
Yeah, and then they would realize that if you can't beat them, you got to join them. And maybe we'll take a cut. Maybe we'll keep a few more people on, and we won't get rid of our staff until we're bare bones, so that when something like this happens, we're caught with our pants down.
Yeah.
That's what we need. End of story. Simple as that. But until that point happens, Nova Scotia Power is always going to let us down. You know, and by letting us down, they're letting down the consumer and they're letting down their employees too, because their employees are leaving elsewhere. So they're kind of pissing everybody off. But then they can make this huge statement. How many pages?
Oh, well, 173 pages. And I'm going to give my hats off here to Brett Ruskin over at Global Television, because he managed to take 173 pages of this drivel and boil it down into 140 characters on Twitter. And I quote, NS Power blames leafy trees, weather forecasters, the government, and says their Arthur performance was adequate. Bam. That's all you need to know.
Well done. Although I can go one better.
Oh?
Not our fault we did okay. Six words.
Yep.
That's all they basically said. And that's all they have to say. They could have put out a statement saying, we don't like you. Go screw yourselves.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do? Okay, I'm taking my power. My power needs elsewhere. No, they've got us. There's nothing that we can do.
Yeah.
So this whole public relations thing is what? Just to stop us from whining?
We're bending over and they're not even taking us out for dinner first. Yeah.
They don't have to. We're in a prison cell with them. You know, you don't have to wine and dine. You just have to wait until we fall asleep kind of thing.
Time and time again, we drop that goddamn soap.
Oh, we don't even have soap. Soap would be lube.
So, you want to know what business to get into? A growth industry.
Okay.
Up 500% from a decade ago, worth $75.5 million, the tattoo removal industry.
Yeah.
You knew this was coming.
Hey, you know what? I told you.
But 18-year-old Reese Barnett, in 2001, impulsively walked into a tattoo parlor and picked up the trendiest design that he could off the wall, the old tribal armband and tribal shoulder tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Flash forward now is 2014. He's 32 years old. He's a pension fund analyst, and he is now a customer at Precision Laser Tattoo Removal. It is going to cost him about $5,000 to remove that $400 tattoo that he got in 2001.
Hey, I'm liking this. What kind of qualifications do you have to become a laser tattoo removal artist?
That is a good question.
Do you have to have a medical degree?
I don't think you have to have a medical degree. No, I think it might be just something that you need to take, maybe like a 6-month course. And
you just have to read the instruction manual and when you get the laser thing.
Yeah, it's now worth $75.5 million in the U.S. and they figure by 2018... that business will be valued at about $83 million just in 1 year, 1 year of service.
Oh my God, this is Dr. Seuss. It has come to life. If you do not know the story of the Sneetchers, which is my favorite story, that's exactly the exact same plot.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be trendy, if you really want to be cool, you got to have one of these. And so everybody goes out and gets them, and then these aren't trendy anymore. Well, everybody goes and gets them removed.
Yeah, that's right. Tattoo remover Mike McLean, his quote's great. He says, I can't tell you how many Tasmanian devils we've removed.
My new business, I will remove those fake testicles that people have hanging from the back of their trucks. Or I will personally take a little razor blade and I will remove that Calvin and Hobbes guy that's the Ford guy that's peeing on the GM or whatever it is.
Oh, well, you can insert whatever you want. I've seen Habs on Leafs on Habs. Yep. I'll remove them all.
Yeah. Because guess what? Calvin and Hobbes went out about 20 freaking years ago. So
exactly.
let's just take them off.
And let's just declare war on all those stickers of families on the back of minivans to tell us who's contained inside the box.
It's funny you should mention that, because that's another great business I was wanting to get into.
What?
You make those ones, but you make them just so demented.
One with like the Jason mask, one with like the Scream mask.
Yeah, have like the Manson family on the back of your window there and stick characters.
I like
it. A little stick character with a beard and a bunch of teenage girls following him with knives. That would be funny.
Oh, God.
But, you know, hate to say it, look, you got two dogs and three kids. Passé. I think it was passé after the second person put it on. The first guy was cool. It was neat. And then as soon as they started mass marketing it, and you could buy them at Canadian Tire when you walk in the freaking door.
The dollar store.
Yeah, it's just lost some of its glamour.
Yeah. So the Dart Gallery in Dartmouth has a really cool art display on right now until the 25th. It's called Last Exit to Springfield, and it celebrates The Simpsons as they wrap up their 25th year on television. It is absolutely incredible. Krusty the Clown, Mr. Burns, Itchy and Scratchy, and of course the family themselves all there. First off, they've got this incredible Krusty the Clown quilt that somebody made for them. It was Amy from Candy Coated Quilts made it. And it is just a really bright piece. It just greets you as soon as you walk through the door.
Mm-hmm.
This is a third in a series of pop art shows that Dart has done. The first two explored video games and toys from the 1980s.
Now, is this all local art?
Yeah, my understanding is that it's all local artists, or at least, you know, within the Maritimes. Okay. Yeah.
No, when you said there was a Simpsons display, I thought, okay, what are they going to be bringing actual Simpsons things from Hollywood and slides and things? And this is all folk art.
Exactly.
A la Simpson. Yeah. Okay.
And this all sort of fits into the gallery's vision of doing, they want to present accessible art and something that's relatable for people. And I mean, geez, what's more relatable than The Simpsons? Been on TV for as long as they have. Dave Hallett, for example, he created video cases for the many fictional movies that are in the show, including Bart's favorite sci-fi horror film, Space Mutants 4. And he did all the images by hand, colored them all digitally, printed them up, and then wrapped them around old VHS tapes to make them look authentic.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. Anyway, if you want to see it again, it's at the Dart Gallery in Dartmouth, and the exhibition runs until August the 25th.
And that is all the time we have for today's Halifax Daily News. We'll be back all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Thursday.
Until then.